You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I'd like you to take your Bibles. I've said a book of Exodus last week, and we were in Genesis. And this week, we're in Exodus. Next week, we'll be in Leviticus. You know, for me, even after I pastored here many years, I always stumbled over Leviticus. I would finish Genesis and Exodus and think, Leviticus is next. What can you get out of Leviticus? Somehow that book, I asked God several years ago to help me conquer it, and God allowed me to conquer it. He gave to me so many wonderful things out of Leviticus. And that book is a book that prepares a people to move into the next step in life. You'll see it this week if you're going to get ahead and read it for next week. There's 87 times you're going to find the word holy. And God says, before you ever go into a land, and when you get there, I'm going to ask that you be a holy people. Last week was just sort of an introduction to Genesis, and it certainly was not exhaustive. We looked at chapter 1, 2, and 3, and chapter 50, verse 26. You remember it began with life, and where first, in the beginning, God created. You're going to find in chapter 1 and 2 the life that he created. In fact, one of the people's names in Genesis 1 and 2, there's only two people's names, and one means life giver, and that is Eve. And when Adam named her Eve, he said, you're a life giver. And we find in the beginning there is life, and in chapter 50, verse 26, the very last verse, it says, in a coffin in Egypt. They went from paradise to Egypt. And Egypt was always a resemblance of trusting in the flesh, trusting in myself. A lot took place, if you remember last week, where we said in that little dash, and ushers, please bring folks in, all right? You're not bothering me. Normally we wouldn't do that. Don't have people stand. Just bring them in whenever you want here, okay? But that little dash from chapter 3 to chapter 50. From chapter 3 to 50, life is filled with a lot of events. In those chapters, there's betrayal, there's murder, there's stealing, there's deceit, there's family turmoil where the father, who was a great man, loved this son more than the other, and this mother loved this son more than the other. A lot of chaos. Brothers said, we don't like our brother Joseph. And 10 brothers decided to put him in a pit and then took his coat of many colors and dipped it in blood and put it in blood and took it home to their dad and lied to him for decades, for years and years and years to their dad and lied. And then chapter 37 to 50, when Joseph goes from the pit to the palace, to the prison, and back to the palace, and then to prominence, second command. And you know, when he went to that pit, it looked like nothing was good. But God was moving in the background. He had to get him to Egypt, because in about 15 years, there was going to be a famine. And here is he in Egypt. And all of a sudden, things are looking good. And he had favor with God and favor with man. And then Potiphar's wife lied about him, and he went to prison, and there he stayed. Not a lot of fun in his life. God was in the background putting it all together so that one day his brothers could stand before him, and they didn't even recognize who he was. Life had changed so much for the years. And then I love it when you get to chapter 45. He had his brothers there. They went back home. Then they had one in bondage. And then he came back. And then they went out in bondage again. They went again. And he overtook him and brought him back, and he put him in order from Reuben, the eldest, to Simeon, to all the way down to the last child, all those brothers in order. He sat him down. He began to weep uncontrollably. He left his brothers. They didn't know that was their brother. And he contained himself, came back in, and he said, "Boys, I am Joseph. I'm Joseph, your brother." I think that's my favorite part of the whole book of John. I love that when he says, that's my favorite Bible story in the Old Testament. "I'm Joseph. You thought it for evil, God meant it for good." We start in paradise, we end in Egypt. We start with life, we end in death. And tonight we begin in Exodus, and we're just here tonight. If you have a pen or a pencil, I wouldn't mind if you wanted to write some things down. Exodus means what? To exit. Would you write it down either in your Bible there, or would you write it right in your Bible under the word Exodus? Exodus means to exit. Genesis means what? Beginnings. And Exodus is to exit. In 2 weeks from tonight, we'll get to Deuteronomy. That just simply means, the word Deuteronomy means the words. And tonight, exit. When you read through the book of Exodus, you're going to find that there are several divisions. I'm not going to take you through the battle that he had with Moses had with Pharaoh and the plagues. It is interesting when you read those plagues and compare it to the tribulation, you see the similar or the exact same plagues in the tribulation one day. Thank God if we know him as Savior, we won't be here. But I want to pick it up with chapter 18, because sometimes from 18 forward, it gets a little bit confusing. Have you ever noticed words like commandments and judgments and ordinances? And what do those words mean? Well, God's going to show us through the law. And I want to begin with you in chapter number 19, if you will. Let me get there. And God gives us first the commandments. In fact, let's go over to 20 just for the sake of time. And I'll take my watch off. I don't see a clock in here. And I don't have much time left. He begins with the commandments. The commandments, and I want you to write it down, are the moral code that we should have in our lives toward God and toward man. So when you see the word, the commandments, it's a moral code. How to get along with God and how to get along. That's what the Ten Commandments are all about. It's our relationship with God, the first many. And then we pivot at the fifth commandment to family and to mankind. Notice the commandments. I wonder if you could read with me verses 1, 2, and 3 of Exodus chapter 20. Ready? Begin. "And God spake all these words, saying, And so by verse 3, if you feel like you can write in your Bible, I have written in my Bible, 1. That is commandment 1. Verse 3 is commandment 1. A moral code. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." A lot of things. It could be a god, Buddha. It could be our nation is quickly buying into Wicca and into witches. And now have you seen perhaps and read that on board ship they're having pagan worship on some of our military vessels. Worship pagan gods. There is a god down here at the Christmas in the park. There's a snake, cost $500,000. It's a god to the Aztec god, paid for by government expense, a citizen expense. That's an interesting thing. And there's gods that are deities that we talk about. There's gods, the God of money, the God of position, the God of power. I'm going to be in control. Every man, Judges 17:6, did that which was right in his own eyes. I am the boss. I'm in control. Nobody's going to tell me. God's not going to tell me. God says, I don't want any other gods. I have to answer for me. Do I allow other gods to surface and control my life? The second commandment is verse 4 and 5. So if you want to put a 2 by 4 and 5, let's read it together. Ready, begin. Thou shalt make... Let me start again, I'm sorry. Thou shalt not make unto thee... And so God says, not only do I not want you to have any gods, I don't want you to have any images that you worship gods. The third one is verse 7. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Thou shalt not... And our world takes his name in vain. We'll use the word God or Jesus. Are Jesus Christ. And if we work in the world, you've probably heard it many times today by people. It'd be like if someone was cursing and using the word Muhammad or Confucius. That would be a problem for people. And out of respect to them, it should be a problem to them. But out of respect to our God, it should be a problem for us too. And I would not encourage you to be in a fight, but I would encourage you to say, I would appreciate it if that language was not used. That's my Father you're speaking about. Now, you're going to have to figure that out. But God says, I don't want you to take my name in vain. The fourth commandment is verse 8. Ready, begin. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, nor thy manservant or maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, rested on the seventh. And he blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. We are not Seventh-day Baptist. Why? We don't worship the Sabbath, we worship the resurrection. In the Bible, in the New Testament, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store if God has prospered him. Jesus gathered the people of God, the disciples and others together on the resurrection morn, Sunday, the first day. Thomas did not believe it. And he showed himself, Jesus, to Thomas, and 8 days later on Sunday, he was there again. We worship the resurrection. We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen, alive Savior. And so we have. But by the way, just like on the sixth day, they didn't do all this other activity. Can't one day belong to God? Now, every day is his. Brother Leonard Saunders, he went to college with me, pastor for years. Hard to believe he's retired. I'm not thinking about retiring, but nonetheless, he has. And he's had some health issues, but he gave me a sticker. It's in my college Bible. I'll never forget it. He was from Michigan. He said, Sunday is the Lord's day, a holy day, not a holiday. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we are a little bit careless with Sunday. This church never had any activity on Sunday concerning sports until we began a college. After we started a college on Sunday nights after church, sometimes different teams play hockey in here. Some play basketball tournaments or volleyball tournaments. Our students work, almost all of them, 40 hours a week jobs. And they're in school full time and they're out Saturday. I've got to find a window for them to have some fun together. And that's worked for them, and the gym is open at other times for the church. We find the fifth commandment. I think of when I say the fifth commandment, Tony Hudson. Because Tony said, I still believe the fifth commandment. Tony said there's some things he will not do because daddy did not do it. His dad's been dead, good night, years, 20 some years. If you have a beard tonight, you're not a bad person. But Tony said, I'm a preacher of the God. I'll never grow a beard because daddy didn't have one. Now for him, he said, I'm trying to honor my dad. You say, well, that's crazy. No, he loved his dad. It's not a rule, but for him, I'm just talking about for him. Some of you have beards today. If I had a beard, I'd tell you what, I've been trying to do this with my eyebrows for a year, grow them out and then just pull them right back here. And I think I'd do that with my beard. You're not wrong to have a beard. I'm just saying this. For him, he said, I want to honor my dad. I want to honor my dad. Maybe you have a beard and your dad had a beard. Maybe you're honoring his day, your dad. I don't know. But he said, here's what the scripture, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long, the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. If there's aught between you and your dad, you and your mother, do your best to get it right. Amen. Some of you have families that will not let you get it right. I know someone that's very, very close and dear to me. And family has made some decisions to, they're all saved, but they've made a decision to separate from family. And this family member for 5 years, 10 years, now probably 15 years, has sent birthday cards and graduation cards and everything possible. Whether they get them, I don't know. They will not allow them to talk to them. And they're all Christians. And my heart is so heavy for that situation. I constantly think about it. You know, your family might be guilty of not being kind toward you. That's up to them. But not one of the people from North Valley Baptist Church ought to have an ill heart toward your mother, your father, your siblings, your aunts, your uncles. The next one, I'm just getting stuck on this here. I mean, number six, thou shalt not kill. Number seven, and these, you see, the first ones deal with our relationship with God, the moral code. And now it deals with our family, and now it deals with one another. Thou shalt not kill. The seventh one, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number eight, thou shalt not steal. Number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Now, these are commandments. I wonder if you'll go with me to chapter 21. In my Bible, well, your Bible as well, verse 1. Let's read verse 1 together. Ready? Begin. Now these are the judgments. Now, what is a judgment? The command is the moral code. You know, does anybody here remember, our Christian school still has it. And I grew up in an era when we had it. But does anybody remember having the Ten Commandments posted in school, public school? All right, so many hands are up. I do too. I went to public school. We're not very far from here. And we had the Ten Commandments. But now the Ten Commandments are down. And I don't think we're doing Brother Burcham any better without the Ten Commandments. Isn't it amazing? We're killing now. I saw the account of this brother and this brother. They're twins. And both have murdered people recently, and both are in prison. What a tragedy. What a tragedy that people had hurt one another, kill. Well, that's the Ten Commandments. The commandments are the moral code for man. The judgments are the social code for man. So when you see the judgment, it's talking about dealing with one another. What do you mean by that? Well, if your dog or your ox or your cow or an animal ruins your neighbor's field, this code is going to tell you how much you owe. If you kill your neighbor's animal, you not only have to pay back, but you have to pay back more. This code, this judgment tells you that. If you get in a fight, man with man, and you wound a man, there is restitution. If you get in a fight with a man, and by the way, he's laid up, you have to pay five times more. You have to pay. If we're careless and we take the limbs of someone that cannot walk, you are responsible the remainder of your life. The Bible says to care for that one. There's restitution that needs to be made. Then he says, if you take it a step further and you get mad and you get in a point where you kill, then your life has to be taken for that life. That's the judgments of God. Verse 1, now these are the judgments. For example, look at verse, let me just jump over to 12. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. Verse 16, he that stealeth a man and selleth him, this was slavery in Egypt, or be found in his hand, he shall surely put to death. He that curseth his father and mother shall surely put to death. It was strong. Look at verse number 19. And if he rise again, you know, verse 18, if a man strive with another, smite him with a stone or with his fist, that he die not, but keepeth his bed. In other words, he's bedridden now. And if he rise again and walk abroad with the staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. Verse 22, and if men strive and hurt a woman with child, she's carrying a child, God gives the restitution that must be made. Or if verse 28, if an ox gore a man or a woman and they die, we have some of these dogs that have been trained in their very lifestyle of fiber, that is to kill. Well, God says if that's what happens, then you have responsibility. I read the account here a year ago where an infant neighbor was killed by an animal, a dog that was a vicious dog. Well, they have a responsibility. There is a moral code and there is a social code how to get along. There is property rights, chapter 22, verses 1 through 15. We saw masters and servants, chapter 21, and physical injuries and property rights. And then when people, chapter 22 through 23, 19, when there is evil practices, well, then, according to the Bible, there has to be correction. You have to pay back for that. And then we see, and I'm out of time, I know that. So we have the commandments, the moral code, the judgments, the social code. Turn to chapter 24, please. Chapter 24 begins with the ordinances. What are ordinances? Well, God begins to show us how we are supposed to worship God. When you see the word ordinance, it deals with our worship toward God. There's a sacredness in our worship toward God. And we find that. So there are three sections and three divisions we're going to find here in Leviticus, Exodus. When we get to that text, we're going to find the divisions. What we picked up were the commandments and the judgments and the ordinances. The next section you're going to look in chapter 25 through 40 is the tabernacle. And you're going to find that the tabernacle had to be made by certain dimensions. And as I said Sunday, three tribes in the north, three to the south, three to the east, three to the west. Why? Our homes move around the house of God. Our lives ought to be absorbed with the institution now in the New Testament called the church. The church is a Greek word. It's found 118 times in the New Testament. It's the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia means a called out assembly. We are called out of this world into a family like we have here. What a sea here in this gymnasium to look at people that know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a family. I'm part of the family that's been born again. We're God's people. Oh, what a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. I felt that tonight. We've been working around here all day, early this morning till tonight. And the fellas went home and showered and we came back and I'm walking back to church. I've been thinking about all day. I can't wait for church. I've looked forward to this so much tonight. I look forward to coming here early and shaking your hand. And there were just a few people in here when I got here. And it's so wonderful to be with God's people. Exodus, please slow down in your reading. Read about how God tells in that tabernacle. I almost want Brother Bertram to come and speak to us about that cross that's in the tabernacle with the various furnishings and how they make a cross. And you have the holy place. And then you enter in a 15 by 15 room, the Holy of Holies. And you know, when Jesus died, now that's the tabernacle. No one could go into that holy of holy place in the temple. But he tore and rent that veil in twain. Why? So we could look right on in. Because now we have access to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. I don't know how far we'll go. There's 52 Wednesday nights. There's 66 books. But all I want to do my best as we prepare for next year, the Bible, as we're getting out to our neighbors, I want it to become so real that Genesis, God put so many wonderful things in Genesis for us. And then Exodus. And next week we'll pick it up with Leviticus.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.